All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now we're talking about how they decide that this is only for a few people. Okay, this is what we're talking about right here. This is what they use. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This is what they're using, okay? Next. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Okay. Now, if you look at that very closely, you could misinterpret that. You could decide that that's, it says right there, he gives it to some and he doesn't give it to others. But you have to understand the context of what he's talking about. Paul is talking to the people about offices in the church. He's talking about ministries in the church. How do we know that? Well, I'm going to show you that in a minute. How do we know that there's a difference between the personal use and the church use? So what he was talking about here is, listen, in the body of Christ, in this church, all of us do different things. You know, we have a pastor. He gets up here, and that's his calling, and that's his part in this whole body. We have Pastor Lisa. She also does that. Well, Pastor Lisa does a lot of things. But, you know, her main thing is she's the worship leader, and that's her part in this body. We have Miss Jeannie Bowser in there that's doing the kids. We have all these people that are doing different things. The problem with that, what a problem it would be if everybody just came in and was a pastor. Well, now we'd have a real problem, wouldn't we? Especially with our pastor. He'd tell you, sit down, shut up. This is his pulpit. Or if everybody came in and their only gift was worship. That's the only gift we had in the whole church. Man, we'd be lame, wouldn't we? If everybody was a hand or a foot, we'd have some problems. The Bible talks about that. If you go on to read this, it talks about that. If everybody's a hand or if everybody's a foot, he's talking about the body. And he goes on and talks about teachers and preachers and evangelists. Well, where do people use those gifts? They use them in the church. They use them to go out and preach. So now how do I know then that it's for my personal use? Well, we have to go on and look at what Paul had some things to say about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. This is the other thing. Let me touch this. Pursue love and desire a spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, wait a minute, that's not the one I want, I don't think. Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and read it and we'll see. Okay, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. Let me address that real quick. That's another one. People go around thinking, well, I don't really need tongues. It's not that important. It comes behind prophecy. He's not talking about that it's a lesser gift. Paul goes on to say that it's a gift for everybody and it's a gift you need. What he's saying is that in the assembly with the people, it doesn't edify you if I just stand up here and say, Kumbra saranaman derele shikitabedi, asur mandara labasiti ishina hai, didididi. If I stand here and preach this whole message like that, what did you get from it? Unless somebody gets up and interprets it, you got nothing. You go out and go, well, that was different. Right? You get nothing from it. That's what he's talking about here, because I've heard people say, well, you're not supposed to speak in tongues unless there's somebody there to interpret it. Well, you don't need anybody to interpret it when you're using it for your personal use. You can pray for the interpretation for yourself. Okay, so that's that. It's not, and he's not saying that you shouldn't desire tongues. What you really should do is just desire prophecy, or that prophecy was so much of a better gift. He was just saying that in the assembly, prophecy will edify you. Prophecy will build you up, will do something for the people. Yes. You understand? And tongues is just as important if you have an interpreter. So if I get up in the pulpit and I say, hey, I got a word for you, and I give it in tongues, then I need to either interpret myself or I need somebody else to interpret it. And Pastor often does that for us. He gives a word, or we have guest speakers who come and do that. And so that's another thing that hangs people up. Okay. Now, Paul goes through this whole thing and he talks about this, but how do we know that it's for personal use? After he gets through telling them, you know, listen, it doesn't help everybody. You can go and read all this. It doesn't help everybody. He tells you everything I just said. It's right there in 1 Corinthians 14. You can read that. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 through 19, I think I left some verses out was what happened up here, but that's okay. It says, I thank my God, this is Paul speaking after he's given them, after he said to them, look, if you're going to speak in a tongue, then you need to have an interpreter. This is him speaking to them. He says, but I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now he just got through saying, here it is, yet in the church, listen, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. But now he just got through saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Well, where's he doing that if he's not doing it in the church? Huh? He's doing that in his own personal life, right? He's doing that in his own personal life. Okay, well, that was Paul, Teresa. That's grand. What about me? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 27 through 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, I can't see the bottom of this because of that cage. I have to look over here. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let each one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Now listen, and let him speak to himself and to God. There it is right there. Okay, if you don't have an interpreter, you may not need to get up and give a word in church. But what are you supposed to be doing with it? You're going to use it and speak to yourself and to God. That's what it spells it out for you right there. Amen? Okay, so I hope that I have just put that to rest for anybody who's here, who's been taught that this is not for every believer, or that this was done away with. And so let's just talk about that done away thing again, too. If you really want to get practical about that, let's think about that. If when the written word came, they no longer needed to speak with tongues, well, Paul was writing this. So he had the written word revealed to him right there, didn't he? He was writing it. So if you want to get really practical about it, then he didn't need to write about that speaking in tongues because you didn't need it no more. See, that doesn't even make sense, okay? So if you've been taught wrong, I hope that I've been able to clear that up for you. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Do not forbid it. But maybe you need just a little bit more evidence. So let's go to Mark 16, 17. Now this is Jesus, and he's talking to the disciples that he's sending out into the world. And this is what he says to them. And these signs will follow those who believe. Everybody who believes, those who believe, believers, those who confess Jesus, these signs are going to follow them. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. Okay, that's Jesus speaking. So I don't know who else you need to tell you. If Jesus telling you isn't good enough, then then we're just out of luck here, okay? All right, praise the Lord. Okay, now, I considered that just a little introduction. because now I'm going to get into what I want to talk to those of you who know about speaking in tongues. You know about this, but the truth is that you don't really know about it. You still have some doubts about it, because if you didn't, you'd be using it. If you knew the power that was behind it, you'd use it. You wouldn't sit it on the shelf and go, well, oh, sometimes I do. I speak in tongues, but I know I'm not doing as much as I hear it all the time. And I don't just hear it from people who are brand new believers. I ask them, hey, have you prayed in tongues about this? Well, not really. Not really. Well, heavens to Betsy, why not? Because you don't know what you don't know. It's as simple as that. You just don't know. I'm pretty convinced, because if you knew, you would use it. Amen. Okay. All right. So now we all know that we are a tripart being. What do I mean by that? We are a spirit. We live in a body, and we possess a soul. Okay. Now, often the world intermingles the word spirit and soul. They intermingle that to mean the same thing. It does not mean the same thing. Your soul is the part of you that contains your mind, will, and emotions. It's the place where you sense things. It's where you're connected with the earth. It's where you take in information, and it's your soul. But your spirit is your inner man. It's the living part of you that God put into you. It's the thing that gives you life, and it has a mind also. It has a mind also. Okay, so I want you to hold on to that. So the Bible bears that out for us. I didn't just make that up. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that the Bible separates that out. Those are the three parts of you, okay? So now in John 4:24, let's go there real quick. So we know that we're a three-part being, and we were made in the image of God, right? Okay, so God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So now we see we're a spirit. And God is a spirit, okay? Let's go to Genesis 2 and 7. It's hot in here. Can somebody turn the air down just a little? Whew, I'm sweating. I don't know if y'all are. I just saw somebody fanning, so. Okay. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, if you go to the original language here, the original Hebrew, that word breath is spirit. He breathed spirit into man, and he became a living being. Okay? Now, we know that through the fall that we died spiritually, and that when Jesus came, we were renewed spiritually. We became a new creation. We know that. Okay. Let's go to John 6. Can't read my own writing. John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Okay, so now what have we just seen? We saw that God is spirit, that we are spirit, and that the word is spirit. So we're dealing with us being a spirit, God being a spirit, and the word being spirit, okay? Let's go to John 3:6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit, right? Okay, now he just separated it out. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. That would indicate that there's not necessarily any direct way, there's no direct connection between the flesh and the spirit. They're interrelated, but there's no direct connection between the two. It would appear that which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. They are interrelated, but there is no direct connection. Okay? So now let's go to James 1:23. I hope y'all will hang with me and just hang tight because it'll become clear to you in a minute. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." In a mirror. Now, in the natural, when you and I see ourselves in the mirror, we realize that if I reach out and I touch that mirror, it's not my face, right? Uh-uh. It's not my face. It's just a reflection of my face. But I trust the mirror. Uh-uh. I've come to trust that mirror, haven't I? Because if I look in that mirror and the mirror says I need some lipstick, I put some lipstick on. Even though I know that's not me, I'm standing here, it's just a reflection. But I trust it, and I'll put some lipstick on. If the mirror tells me that outfit makes my butt look this big, I'll take it off. Amen. Whoops, I probably shouldn't have said that word on tape. Okay, we've come to trust that mirror. Right? We trust that mirror. Well, you know, God's word is a mirror. So how am I going to find out who I am in this spirit? Now, I'm a spirit, and my flesh can't touch that spirit. My flesh doesn't know how to touch that spirit. It's not a touchy-feely thing. Just like I can't really touch my face in the mirror, but I can see who I am in the mirror. I can see myself in the mirror. Right? Okay. Well, the Bible is a mirror. And it tells us, it's the only way that we have to know who the hidden man of the heart is. Who am I on the inside? What am I on the inside? In other words, it's not a feeling. It's not something I can touch. I have to trust this word. So let's find out, what are some of the things? Now, these, I'm just going to make reference to them. You can write down these. You can write down these references and look at them later. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says that when we were born again, we became a new creation. Ephesians 1:3 says, we've been given every spiritual blessing. Amen. Let me ask you something. Where is that at? It's a spirit. But I'm living here in a body, aren't I? I'm living here on the earth. Luke 10:19, we have been given power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. How many of y'all feel like love every moment? Go ahead, raise your hand if you're here, because I got to come rub shoulders with you. I'm going to tell you that right now. You got some things to teach me. But now, wait a minute, the love of God, the perfect love, the love we were just reading about in 1 Corinthians 13 has been shed abroad in your heart. It's in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that we have been joined to the Lord and we are one with him. We are one with him. How many of you know that if you're joined to somebody and you are one with them and you are with them always, that you are never out of their consciousness? You're never out of their consciousness. My body's never out of my consciousness. Is yours? Do you just forget about your body? You walk around and you go, oh yeah, I have a body. It's hungry. It needs. Nope, you don't forget that, do you? Yet, how often in a day do you forget about Jesus? I'm making a point here, so let's just hang with me. 2 Peter 1:3. We have been given everything, say everything, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Notice it separated it out. Everything that pertains to life. Well, where is the life I'm living? Here. I'm living it right here. And godliness. So everything I need has already been given to me. Are any of y'all living a perfect life? No. Do any of y'all have needs or wants right now? Yes. Okay. Something's going on. What's happening? 1 John 4:17, as he is, talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. How many of y'all feel like you walk around acting like Jesus every minute of the day? Nope. Oh, well, what is going on around here? What's happening here? Now the Bible says it's true, right? 1 John 2:27. You have the Holy Spirit who teaches you and leads you into all truth. All truth. Do you know the truth about everything that you walk into, or do you walk into some things going, I don't know what's going on here? Yep. But you got the Holy Spirit, and he teaches you all truth. 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have been given the mind of Christ. Now, how many of y'all know that Jesus was God, and therefore he knows everything, just like the Spirit just said? Like I just said, we've got the Spirit. He knows everything. But how many of y'all have ever been faced with a problem that you had no idea? Or you had to fix something and you're looking at it going, it looks like a hot mess to me. I've got no idea what to do with all this here mess. You know, I don't know what I'm doing here. Every one of us has experienced that, correct? Okay, now, we are going to read this one. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5, and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Okay? What I'm submitting to you is my Bible, my mirror, tells me that the very DNA of God has been deposited on the inside of me. Everything that God is and everything that he has is on the inside of me, in my spirit. Right? Because that's what we just read. We saw it in the mirror. How do we know? We saw it in the mirror. We saw it in the mirror. Now, how many of y'all think that he put all of that in you for you to walk around living a defeated life? I put all this in you, but of course, you know, I know you don't know how to live it. But it is in there. Have a good day. How many of y'all would do that? How many of y'all would tell your kids, I expect you to do this, this, and this, and but then you would never tell them how? I'm not going to tell you how to do it. And when you get it wrong, well, too bad. I told you, if you got it right, it'd be good. But if you don't get it right, too bad. We don't do that, do we? We don't do that. Yet we kind of think that we kind of see all this stuff that we have in the spirit, and we kind of think that's what God did. We kind of think, well, I know the Bible says it, but God's not doing it for me. He's not doing it for me. No, he isn't doing it for you because he told you how to do it. That's what the deal is. He already did everything he was going to do. But okay, so now for we've got all of this in us, but yet the church, for the most part, has walked around living a defeated life. They've been walking around looking just like the world. Doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have problems, but something's wrong. We're not living the victorious life. My mirror tells me I got all of that. Problems come. I'm supposed to be victorious. I'm supposed to be a winner, right? Okay? This is a lot like a man who's dying of thirst leaned up against a water well. I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. Somebody comes by and says, hey, why don't you get a drink out of that well? You say, I would, but I don't have a bucket. Well, it would behoove you, since you know where the well's at, to get up and go find the bucket, wouldn't it? It'd behoove you to go get yourself a bucket and get a drink, wouldn't it? Well, that's kind of where we're at. We've got all this stuff in our spirit. We got to figure out what is the bucket that draws it out. What is the bucket that draws all of this that I've got in my spirit out of me? How am I going to do it? We're going to start in the Old Testament. Now, y'all know that the Old Testament was a type and shadow of the New Testament and the things to come. And I believe that even back there, well, we know that they talked about speaking in tongues back there, either in, I think it's Isaiah. But anywhere, it talks about us having stammering lips. And it talks about that would give us rest. And it talks about that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. Out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. So we're going to start and we're going to look, because the Bible tells us how to draw this out. How do we draw it out? How do we? And this is one of the big ways, and we're missing it. We're missing it. Proverbs 25. Yes, that's it. Counsel in the heart of a man, the heart of a man, his spirit, is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, so I see I got to understand something. What is it I've got to understand? I've got to have some understanding. Let's go to Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Oh, okay. So I have to understand that my mouth is involved in this. The words of a man. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. Okay, so words have got something to do with it, obviously. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of who? The righteous. Who are the righteous?
We are.
Okay. Is a well of life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Okay, so notice that it's the mouth. The mouth is involved. We're seeing that very clearly, aren't we? We're seeing the mouth is going to... Now, we know we're in a faith church, and we know that we speak the word on things, and that is one of the ways that we access the things of God. So what I'm talking to you about today is not the only way that we do it, but this is one of the big ways that we do it, okay? So, I mean, obviously, we are Word of Life Church. So how do I know that he's talking about prayer? Well, then we come to the New Testament, and we start to see this thing. Let's go to James 5, verse 16 in the New King James first. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I want to look at that in the Amplified. So let's see that same verse in Amplified. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man, listen, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I want you to hold on to the word power. Power, okay? Now, let's go down. It says it's going to make tremendous power available to you. Tremendous power. So it's fervent prayer, though. It's effectual prayer that does that. It's effectual fervent prayer, making much power available to you. So let's go to Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, we know that all through our Bible, when it talks about people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, what was the next thing that happened? They spoke in tongues. So now we're seeing power comes and tongues came. Power came and tongues came. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in tongues. So, there's a connection, isn't there? There seems to be some connection there. All right. Now, when I say the word power, what do y'all think of? Well, a lot of times what people think of is just the manifestations. They think of things like, whoo, Holy Spirit was there. I fell on the floor. We spoke in tongues. We ran around. We danced. We had a good time. And they think of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But the word power, one of its meanings means delegated authority. And the other meaning is the ability to get results. The ability to get results. That's what power means. So now I see that power came with the Holy Spirit. All right? I spoke in tongues, and now I have the ability to get results. I have the ability. Listen, if anybody on this earth should be able to get results, it's us. It's us. So why aren't we? You know what it's like? It's kind of like we've got this toolbox sitting here. And we've got this 2x4 and we need to put a screw in it. And laying right there is a power drill, but I pick up the screwdriver. Yeah. And I go over to the 2x4 and I'm... And it's digging in the wood, and it makes a big gouge, and it comes out the side, and I'm there for, you know, half an hour, and it's only gone that far. And the whole time I had a drill laying right there, but I never picked it up and put the little tip in it, and zzzzt. That's for my men in here. I don't know a thing about drills. But anyway, that's my husband's job. What I mean when I say I didn't pick it up, I mean I didn't tell him to do it. Okay. That's what I mean. Okay. For some of you women who are much more advanced than me. You probably did it yourself. Hallelujah. All right. So, we've talked about the power. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 15. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Remember, we were just talking about deep wells within our spirit. Okay, so God, the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 14. Oh, wait, let me see. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Listen. That we might know the things, this was important. I'm glad you didn't skip over that, Lynn. Thank you. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Oh, okay, I'm seeing something here. Now, I saw in the mirror who I am, and I've admitted that in my natural self, I don't necessarily see that in the natural world. So how am I going to see it? I'm going to know it through the Spirit of God, apparently, right? That's what it says. Is that what it says? But the Spirit who is from God, that he has given us, we don't have the spirit of the world, but we have the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. By God. Okay. Let's go to Romans 8, 26 through 27. Was that 1 Corinthians 13? What was that I just read, y'all? Okay, let's do 1 Corinthians 13, 14. I'm sorry, Lynn. I'm losing my place there. I've got so many scriptures written down. That was 1 Corinthians 13, 14. Oh, does it? All right. Well, then maybe I meant 13. Okay, don't worry about it. All right, Romans. Right here we see, now hope does not disappoint. I need Romans 8, 26 through 27. Did I mess this thing up? Okay. Well, I guess I could turn there in my Bible. Oh, there we go. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, what am I seeing here? I'm a spirit. God's a spirit. The Word is spirit. All the things that I need have been put into my spirit. I've got to get them out of my spirit out here. How am I going to do it? The Holy Spirit is going to help me do that. He's going to help me access the things that were freely given to me. Yes, is that what we read? And now we see right now, he's going to help me because he's going to search the heart and he's going to make intercession for me. So we're seeing that the way we're going to get to this is through the Spirit, correct? We're going to get to it. Okay, let's keep going. Now, he who searches, did I already read this? Yes. All right. Did I read 26? All right. Moving right along then. So now, we saw that when the Holy Spirit comes, it's the Spirit that helps us pray. When the Holy Spirit comes, what happened? They spoke in tongues. Is that right? Yeah. Power came and they spoke in tongues. Power came, Holy Spirit came from God, and they spoke in tongues. Could it be, church? Could it just be that just what the pastors and everybody's been telling us, and all the people who move greatly in God, that the way they started moving in this was it started when they started spending a lot of time praying in tongues? Yes, 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 yes. Now, when I heard that, what I heard was that's their opinion of how it happened. They don't know how it happened. Maybe they have a special gift for healing. Maybe they just have a special gift for doing this or that prophecy, whatever. Because, see, that's how we think sometimes. That's how we think. But now I hope tonight that I've absolutely showed you. See, I went and looked for that for myself. I said, hey, wait a minute now. I got to find out. Is that how I access it? Is that really how it? Why did I need to do that? Well, because I can't feel anything necessarily when I'm praying in the tongues. Not always. We do have meetings where we feel his presence. That happens sometimes. But it's not the everyday norm. Many times you're going to sit in your living room and you're going to pray in tongues and you're going to get up and you're not going to feel a thing. And you're going to say, did I do anything? And listen, the devil uses it. Don't think he don't. I know. I talk to people. He uses it. And I'm a human. He uses it on me. You know, man, I just spent all that time praying in tongues. I don't know. Did I do anything? Was that even worth my time? And then you get down the road and you find out, oh, yes, it was. And you say, well, that's all good and great, Teresa. Okay, I see that the Holy Spirit comes and he helps me pray, and I pray in tongues. But, you know, it's boring because I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just talking blah, 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 blah. And my mind's like, oh, this is a, you know, I could go watch Bonanza. I don't even know what's on TV anymore. I'm showing my age, aren't I? Whatever's on TV, fill in the blank. I could just go watch HGTV. I know that's still on there. You know, I could go make a snack right now. Yeah, I could break my diet right now, and I know there's some cake in there. I'm going there, get me some cake and ice cream. Cake and ice cream would be good. How much longer I got to do this? Boring. Blah, blah, blah. So boring. Well, you don't know what you're saying in English, but do you know we can know what we're saying? Oh, yes, we can know what we're saying. Let's find out. What are we saying? What are we talking? What are we doing? Let's go to the right page of notes. That'll help. Ta-da! Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:2 in the Amplified. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most, nope, that's not it. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters what? What does it say up here? Secret truths and hidden things not obvious to his understanding. Hidden things not obvious to his understanding. Okay, that's pretty cool. So now, when I go into my living room, what does that look like? You know what, Holy Spirit? I don't know what's going on with my husband, but he's acting like the devil himself. I need you to help me pray. I can say that because Jerry's not here tonight, so he can't defend himself. No. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me pray for him. What did I just say? I don't know, but I know. I know I just spoke some hidden truths about what that situation is. I don't know what I said in my English, but I know I spoke some truths, some hidden truths. I know I spoke some mysteries of God. Perhaps there's a sickness that's tried to come on me. And I get in there and I say, you know, I've stood on the word, Father, and I've done the things I know. Holy Spirit, please help me to pray about this. What have I said about that sickness? I don't know. I just spoke some mysteries, though. I know I just spoke the mysteries of God, the things that I didn't know that were hidden from my mind. I just spoke something perfect. I just spoke something perfect. So now I don't know what I said with my English, but I do know what I said. I spoke some hidden truth and some mysteries. I spoke some hidden truth and some mysteries about that thing. So now when you know that, when you go in there and the devil comes to you and says, what are you doing? You say, you shut up, devil. I'm in here speaking some hidden truths and some mysteries, and I know it bothers you. Oh, I know it does, because you can't get involved in this, can you? I know. Slap upside your head. Can't even get involved in it, can you? Don't even know what I'm talking about. Woo! Ooh, about to get slapped upside the head again, and you don't even know where it's coming from, do you, devil? Yeah. Yeah, because I'm in here praying in the Holy Ghost. I've got the victory. Let me ask you something. If everything that is God, all the DNA and everything that he is on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit comes to help you to pray, who knows the mind of God and knows everything about you and your situation, and you pray from that place, do you suppose that that prayer could be anything but perfect? Do you? Do you honestly think that with your mind you could pray a more perfect prayer? No, you can't. So no matter whether I know in my English what I said or not, I know I just prayed perfect. I know I just spoke the hidden truth of God. I know that. I can produce nothing but perfect prayer from this perfect place within me. Why is it perfect? Well, number one, you can't doubt it. And in a minute, I'll tell you the other reason why it's perfect. Okay? So now, like I just got through saying, it's not always a feeling. It's not a feeling. There's been many times I've prayed about something, and I was going to tell you about this. You know, I've prayed for the interpretation. And I remember reading in one of Andrew's books about how that he would pray in tongues for when he first started doing it. He came out of that Baptist background also. And he said, you know, he was spending 2 hours a day praying in tongues, and he still wasn't even sure what he was doing, if it was really real, because he had no feeling in it. But he tells you that eventually everything started opening up for him. Wow. It was during that time that amazing things started happening for him. But he had no feeling. And now I've got this little book right here that's it's called Seven Habits of an Uncommon Achiever by Kate McVeigh. We used to have this out there. I don't know if we still do. But I just want to read this one little section in here because it applies to what we're talking about. Now, she is talking about develop the habit of praying in the Spirit. And let me just go ahead and read it. Some of the greatest things that have ever happened in my own life and ministry came after I had spent a long period of time praying in other tongues. One time while driving from Colorado to Oklahoma, I was so motivated that I prayed in tongues for 11 straight hours. I had been listening to some teaching tapes about the benefits of speaking in tongues, and then I decided it was high time to act on what I'd heard. I just finished preaching and the tape player in my car was broken. I was all by myself heading back home, and I figured, hey, this would be a great opportunity to pray in the Spirit. So I purposed in my heart that I would pray in the Holy Spirit all the way home. I'm a goal setter. Setting goals helps motivate me. I was so excited, thinking, I would surely feel some great anointing come upon me. When I got started, I remember praying for what seemed like a long time. Then I looked at my watch and found I'd only been praying a whopping 20 minutes. I was sure I'd been praying for at least 3 hours. The devil told me, this is going to be a long day. However, I just kept on praying, and finally, after 11 hours on the road, I pulled into my driveway. Immediately, a thought popped into my head. Do you feel edified? I answered, I'm not moved by what I feel, because the Bible says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Therefore, I believe I'm edified, whether I feel like it or not. And so, since I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm going to take my little edified body to bed right now. I opened the door to my house, and to my utter amazement, I saw a huge angel standing in my kitchen. I had never seen anything like it. This angel was as tall as my ceiling. The church I grew up in taught us that angels were like little naked babies, chubby and cherub-like beings that floated around with their wings flapping. When I saw this angel, it shocked me. I thought, wow, we have big angels encamped around about us for protection. Praise the Lord. During the next several weeks and months after that time of prayer, I experienced some of the greatest miracles I'd ever seen in my ministry to that point. I also had the biggest breakthroughs I'd ever experienced financially, spiritually, and in every other kind of way imaginable. I believe this was the direct result of the 11 hours that I had spent praying in the Holy Ghost. Now notice she said she felt nothing. Tired. That's what she felt. She'd spent 11 hours praying in the Holy Ghost. She felt nothing. Now, I told you that this is the most perfect prayer, so I'm going to show you this. Let's go to Jude 1:20. We're almost done here, so hang with me. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, not just your holy faith, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? We pray in tongues. We pray in tongues. Why is it your most holy? Why? Let's go to Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, remember I told you we're under the law of love? God is love. And everything we need to do is to be motivated by love. That if we had all the gifts but we didn't have love, we're nothing. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, it's our most holy prayer. Why? My mind's not involved. I cannot doubt it. I cannot pray from anything but pure love for whoever I pray for. I cannot pray from a selfish place because my mind's not involved. The Holy Spirit's telling me what to pray for my husband. The Holy Spirit tells me what to pray for Pastor Lisa or Aunt so-and-so or Brother such-and-such. So what am I praying? I'm praying the most holy. Why is it most holy? God is? He's love. I'm praying from pure love. It is your most holy prayer. Most holy. Now, I've saved this last little bit until the very end, and I'm going to preface it with, before I say anything here, I'm going to preface it with this. I am not making a doctrine out of this, what I'm about to share with you. I ran it by pastor, and pastor said, no, I had not ever heard that. I heard it from Creflo Dollar, and it was very exciting to me, and I want to share it tonight. But I want to tell you right up front that I cannot prove this, okay? But I'll let you hear it, and you decide what you think. There's some evidence that perhaps Jesus spoke in tongues. You're like, what, Teresa? Well, now you know I ain't going to say that unless I have some scriptures. Okay, so let's go to Mark 7:32-33. He's talking to the deaf man. There's a deaf man that's been brought to him. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Next. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Okay, Ephphatha. He sighed, and then he said, Ephphatha. Now let's go to Mark 5:41. I should have started with that one. This is the little girl who was dead. And he says, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Now, why did it need to be translated? Apparently, the people around him didn't know what he was saying, did he? That's what it looks like to me. Now, I'm not making a doctrine out of it, okay? Y'all go home and study it for yourself, you scholarly people. Angela. Go home and get out that. You study it yourself. But I was looking at that, and if he was just talking about he said that in the Greek language or the Hebrew language, well, all of the Bible was written in that. He wouldn't need to interpret that for the people around him, would he? No, he wouldn't. Okay, let's look at one more. This is an important one. Let's go to Mark 15:34. Jesus is on the cross. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which is translated. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I'm not making a doctorate out of that, but that excited me, and I just wanted to share it with y'all. Y'all go and study that out for yourself and find out what's going on there. Like I said, Pastor said he wouldn't preach it as a doctrine because we don't know for sure that that's what was happening, but it is an interesting idea, and it's interesting that only in those places does it say which being translated. Okay, so, well, that's it tonight. I have hope that I have taken this gift, unwrapped it for you, first of all, and showed it to you, and then wrapped it all back up nice and pretty and tied it up with a bow. That's what I hope I've done for you tonight. And I hope that you will go out of here and you will see tongues in a different way. I hope that you'll realize that every time you open your mouth to pray in tongues, that you'll realize you're praying your most holy prayers, that it will become to you holy, that no longer can the devil come along and steal that from you. It's no wonder that the devil has fought it so hard. He's fought it so hard. And I hope that from this day forward that you will understand, no matter what my flesh feels like, this is a powerful tool in my toolbox, and I am going to use it. Okay? Amen? All right. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak into everybody's lives. I hope that they have understanding. I hope that it was not confusing. I hope it was plain. And Father, most of all, I hope that they're inspired to use it. Because Lord, I know that you didn't put all of that in us so that we could walk around and be defeated. That was not your plan. And you gave us the bucket to dip from the well. You gave it to us. And it is silly for us to just stand there and die of thirst when we have everything we need right there. So, Father, I just pray that you will burn this into their hearts and into their minds, that they'll not be able to forget it and that they'll be inspired to use it. Thank you, Lord. I ask you for traveling mercies for every person here as they go home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message by Pastor Daryl Morgan. We hope it blesses you. If you would like more info on Word of Life, sermons, and free downloads, please go to wordoflifeapopka.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.